I'm here with Dr. Genevieve Steiner from NICUM at Western Sydney University and the Behind the Brainwaves study. Genevieve, could you please start by briefly describing the study?
Sure, Nick. Nice to speak with you today. We're looking at trying to understand some of the early changes in brain activity that occur with people who have an increased risk of developing dementia. So we know that in Australia, there's currently over 353,000 people who have a diagnosis of dementia, and currently we don't have a cure. We can only treat some of the symptoms involved with the changes in cognitive function. So what we're trying to do with this study is really pin down some of these early changes in brain function that might be able to predict those people who have an increased risk of developing dementia in the future, which obviously has some really broad social and economic impacts, as well as personal impacts for anybody who's involved.
Genevieve, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement with any research that's led to this study?
Yeah, sure thing, Nick. So I'm a dementia research fellow at Western Sydney University, and some of the research that I've been doing with my collaborators over the past few years has shown that people who are older compared to younger adults have some very interesting changes in their brain function. So what we've done is we've given these two different groups of people just standard kind of cognitive tests where they need to use their attention or their working memory. And what we found is that our older group of participants who are cognitively very healthy perform just as well as the younger adults, which is really quite interesting. So their behavior is exactly the same. But when we dig a little bit deeper and look at the brain function and compare the brain activity between our two groups, we see some very interesting changes, which kind of suggests that our older group are going through almost like a bit of a rewiring of the brain to try and perform just as well as the younger group. So this made us think a little bit about, well, how can we possibly apply this in the field of dementia? Maybe we can look for some of these early changes in people who have an increased risk of cognitive impairment and then test them and see if we can find the same pattern of results as we're doing with our healthy sample.
And what might we learn from this study?
So at the moment, we don't know a lot about some of these really early changes in brain function that predict cognitive decline. It's really quite interesting because in the field of dementia, we've seen such a huge increase in technology for neuroimaging in the past 5 to 10 years. And we're now able to use imaging technology such as PET to actually look for some of the breakdowns and the protein abnormalities that we see in people with Alzheimer's disease. We're actually able to look into the brain with imaging and see them. But there's this big disconnect between what we actually see in the imaging and sometimes the person's cognitive function. So some people can have a brain full of these abnormal proteins that are associated with types of dementia like Alzheimer's disease, but not have any impairment in cognitive function. So what we're really interested in exploring is how can we have a look at the actual changes in the way that the brain works and functions, and how might that tell us about the people who have an increased risk? So the impact of this research could be quite phenomenal because it could really change the way that we think about the early changes that are occurring and how the brain adapts to these early signs of pathology that's due to types of dementia such as Alzheimer's disease.
And what impact might the things that we could learn from this study have on the healthcare system or society at large in the future?
Yeah, massive impact. So in Australia, we have huge costs for dementia. It's absolutely phenomenal. And in America, they forecast that the spending on dementia alone is going to outstrip the defense budget by the next, I think in the next 35 years, so by 2050. So, the actual healthcare system costs that we could save by predicting those who are most at risk and then intervening early, changing relative lifestyle habits that we know contribute to the risk of dementia, and possibly even having earlier medications that we could use so that these people can slow down the progress of dementia or even stop it altogether because we know who's actually going to go on to develop it by knowing more about these changes in brain function. So I think there are some really big impacts in terms of the societal changes or the societal changes that we can affect, as well as the individual and personal benefits of the study, because if you're anybody like myself and you know people who have dementia, or you have a family member who you're very close to with dementia, you'll know that there's not many options available, and you really would like to be able to do everything that you possibly can to help that person.
So what kind of people are needed to make this research possible?
So we're really looking for people who have some kind of memory problem at the moment, but they don't have a diagnosis of dementia. So we're trying to get into this early phase. So people who might have the early signs of Alzheimer's disease, but they don't have a diagnosis. So really we're looking for people who are over 60 years of age, they don't have dementia, or they don't have a diagnosis of dementia, and they have some kind of memory problem. Now, when I say a memory problem, I don't just mean, you know, you forget where you leave your keys all the time and that's it. It's a kind of a problem where your spouse or your partner might be able to say, well, yeah, I've noticed these changes as well, or a child or a friend might be able to say, no, I think I've noticed these changes as well. It's not just something that you think's happening. It's something that a person, another person can confirm.
And what would a participant in this study need to do?
So what we'd like people to do is obviously have a chat to us on the phone, and then we'd like them to come in and participate in a few different sessions. So we do three sessions with each participant. One is a comprehensive cognitive test. So we go through with them, we sit down with them for a few hours, and we test all of their cognitive function to see exactly how they're performing. On another day, we then give them an EEG test. So this is a measure that we use to look at the electrical activity of the brain. And we then take them for a third day and give them an MRI scan. And that only goes for about half an hour.
Are there any possible benefits or compensation for people who participate in this research?
So we are compensating participants for their time in the study. So we do give them $30 every time that they come in to see us. So there's the three sessions I just mentioned, plus there's a screening session as well. So it's four visits. So we give them $30 for each visit, so $120 in total. And there's also free parking at all of our testing sites. So we're basically trying to, remove any out-of-pocket expenses that the participant might endure for participating in the study.
Are there any questions that people have when they're considering whether to participate in this study?
Sure. Usually our participants want to know where to come. So most of our testing is done in Campbelltown, and this is at the Western Sydney University Campbelltown campus. There's free parking right next to our lab, and we've got really good access to the lab from the car park, so it's very easy. People can just walk straight in. There's also very good access from the train station as well if people are coming via public transport. The other testing session that we have is at Macquarie Medical Imaging. So this is at Macquarie University, just next to their hospital. So with participants are heading over there to get their MRI scan done, they also get free parking as well, and they get a referral slip they just take straight up to the reception area. So it's very, very easy for them to do and to get in. And they also have very easy access from that car park via the lift, or if they're coming from the train, there's also very good access via public transport as well. So we're trying to make things as easy as possible for people to come and see us, because we know that it's very important that we get people to participate in this study, because it has such widespread impacts.
Genevieve, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Not at this stage, Nick. We just would like people to give us a call and have a chat with us about the study if they have any questions at all. And to hopefully get as many people as possible to come and participate.
Dr. Genevieve Stoner, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick. Nice to talk to you.